From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 1st. I'm Abby Larico. Federal dollars will help bring internet connection to rural communities across the U.S., but new guidance from the Trump administration is asking states to consider the lowest cost options.
So we're not going to be looking at sort of the best quality network. We're going to be looking at the least expensive networks.
A look at the latest effort to fund broadband infrastructure coming up after this news on The Gateway. Governor Mike Kehoe is dispatching the Missouri National Guard to help President Trump's immigration efforts. Kehoe announced Tuesday that members of the Guard will assist with administrative, clerical, and logistical duties at the state's Immigration and Customs Enforcement processing facilities. Republican State Representative Bill Hardwick of Pulaski County says this type of mission is different from what's happening in Los Angeles, where Trump nationalized the Guard to protect ICE facilities.
I mean, I think what the governor's doing is a good thing. I think it's a good opportunity for soldiers to get experience and to, you know, do a good job.
Kehoe says that members of the Guard will help ICE personnel, quote, focus on core enforcement and security functions. The mission is expected to last until September 2026. An Overland Elementary School in the Rittner School District held its annual Hispanic Heritage Festival last night. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports from a time of celebration at a school where 30% of the students speak Spanish at home.
Iveland Elementary students are overjoyed at the eruption of a makeshift volcano set up at a table with the flag of El Salvador. It's one of the seven countries on display that represent a student's background and highlight the school's diversity. The event comes amidst President Trump's crackdown on U.S. immigration, which has left some St. Louis immigrant communities on edge. Principal Amanda Connolly says the school will continue to celebrate its students.
I just want to make sure that every student knows that they're safe here, that they're welcome here, that they belong here, and that, you know, no matter what is going on in the outside world, we love them and we want them here.
I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
A circuit judge has ordered St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery will have to immediately transport jail detainees to receive medical care. Judge Joan Moriarty said in her decision that the St. Louis jail has a limited amount of resources and staff to assist with medical transports. The Board of Aldermen passed and Mayor Kara Spencer signed legislation requiring the Sheriff's Department to transport detainees for medical care, but Montgomery sued the city, arguing the new law undercut state law. The question around the legality of the city's bill remains to be decided, but in the meantime, the judge's order requires the sheriff's office to continue transports at least until October 15th. The Missouri Future Caucus held its inaugural meeting Tuesday. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the focus was disaster relief.
The purpose of the caucus is to help standing committees with investigating complex issues that face the state. Representative Colin Wellenkamp chairs the caucus. He says Missouri has suffered from months of weather-related disasters, including the May tornado in St. Louis.
We, as a state, onboarded over $2 billion in actual losses from March to today in a myriad of disasters, floods, tornadoes, intense heat, and drought.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer and Missouri State Emergency Management Agency's Jim Remlard were two of the people who testified on disaster response. Wellenkamp says the caucus will take the information they receive and will pass it along to House committees. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Senator Josh Hawley has questions for the Federal Emergency Management Agency about the response to the May tornado. In a letter to FEMA's acting administrator this week, Hawley asked several questions, including how many FEMA workers were deployed to the area and if the agency has provided door-to-door services to residents. The Republican senator said people who live in the path of the deadly tornado deserve approved federal assistance in a timely manner. President Trump initially approved a major disaster declaration for the area back in June. Hawley gave FEMA leaders 1 week to respond to his questions. A community garden at the Eden Theological Seminary in Webster Groves has been dedicated to 74-year-old Patricia Pendleton, who died in the May tornado. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more from the celebration of her legacy at the garden.
Come on, everybody stand on your feet right now. Here we go. The seminary's community garden is now named the Pat Pendleton Garden, or Pat's Place. Pendleton's husband, Harry, and other family and friends smile and sing a gospel song by Fred Hammond to celebrate. Alexis Pendleton Denard is Pendleton's daughter.
She believed in God's bounty and for it to be shared. And this garden feels just like that. A place that will forever keep blooming, keep nourishing, and keep giving.
Pendleton spent the last 7 years volunteering at the garden, helping to provide fresh vegetables to people on the north side of St. Louis. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Development Corporation is getting audited. Missouri Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick announced Tuesday multiple whistleblower complaints about alleged misuse of ARPA funds spurred an investigation into the SLDC. It focused on the North St. Louis Small Business and Nonprofit Grant Program and former SLDC head Neil Richardson's severance pay, which exceeded $140,000. A St. Louis Post-Dispatch investigation found the grant program awarded money to businesses whose listed addresses were vacant lots or boarded-up buildings. The city later paused the program after it awarded more than $30 million to more than 290 businesses throughout the city. It will soon be a smoother ride ahead for cyclists on Tucker Boulevard with new bike lanes and improvements to pedestrian safety. STLPR's Chad Davis reports from Tuesday's groundbreaking on a project that promises to make the road safer for everyone traveling it.
Changes include adding a two-way bike path and high-visibility crossings. It's part of the Tucker Bike Walk Bus Project, a nearly one-mile trail that will connect Washington and Shoto Avenues. The project is expected to be completed next spring. Chantal Incandela is communication director for TrailNet, which is working with the city on the lanes. She says the changes will keep drivers and pedestrians safe and spur economic growth.
People can choose how they get around. There are a lot of studies out there that show that folks walking and biking do tend to spend a bit more money when they're out getting places.
Other additions include bus stop islands and ramps that are Americans with Disabilities Act compliant. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
On the same day the Major League Baseball playoffs got underway, the St. Louis Cardinals tried to instill hope for next year. The team has officially introduced Chaim Bloom as their president of baseball operations. Bloom has been with the Cardinals for the last two seasons in an advisory position. He now takes over for John Mozeliak in the top operations role. Bloom says he knows the Cardinals have high expectations that haven't been met in the last few seasons.
We are not where we need to be, we are not where our fans expect us to be, and we are not where we expect ourselves to be. Our goal is to field a team every year that can compete for this division and for a World Series championship.
The team last made the playoffs in 2022. Fans showed their frustration this year by not coming to Busch Stadium. The Cardinals finished 19th in MLB average attendance, drawing their fewest fans since 1995. A beloved sandwich shop reopened. A simple concept failed to catch on, and changes are coming to a Forest Park institution. Those are some of the headlines on the local dining scene for September. Mom's Deli reopened to much fanfare in a new St. Louis Hills storefront after quietly closing earlier this year. Across the metro, it was a month of good news for breakfast and coffee lovers, with new spots opening in St. Louis, Kirkwood, Clayton, Alton, and Ellisville. Hot Pizza Cold Beer, a concept from the creators of High Point and Sugar Fire, shut its doors downtown after less than 2 years. Hanger Kitchen and Bar in Rock Hill also closed. The restaurant at the Boathouse at Forest Park is shut down too, but that one is temporary while the space undergoes a year-long renovation. You can find more of our coverage of restaurant happenings from the past month at stlpr.org. A lot of rural communities still aren't connected to the internet. That's despite decades of efforts to reach underserved areas. States were close to putting millions of dollars for broadband to use earlier this year. Then the Trump administration put out new guidance. Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports on what that means for the latest effort to get more Americans online.
I'm in the small town of Antlers, Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm here to meet Chris.
Okay. Chris Bailey works here at the Oklahoma State University Extension Office in Pushmataha County.
So Southeast Oklahoma, we are very rural. We have small communities, which I love. Beautiful country. We have a lot of timber industry, a lot of farming.
Bailey helps connect farmers and families to educational resources. She knows a lot of people in this area don't have good internet. That includes Bailey's other office in a neighboring county.
It still is not good enough for us to upgrade our phone systems to an internet-based phone, and that's what we're really needing in that office.
For years, federal and state governments have been working to expand internet connection, especially in rural communities. In 2023, Congress allocated about $42 billion for states through the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, or BEAD, program. States were gearing up to start those projects, but then earlier this year, the Trump administration pressed pause.
We were days from announcing where we were, and then the rules change.
That's Mike Sanders, the executive director of the Oklahoma Broadband Office. In June, when the Trump administration issued new guidance, the office had to completely revamp the state's plan.
Where we had 8 to 10 months leading up to that, we had 90 days. Everything was condensed in a year's work, I kid you not, into 3 months.
Oklahoma submitted its final proposals earlier this month, but several other states, including Missouri, Texas, Illinois, and Indiana, needed extensions. In the new proposals, the Trump administration asked states to consider more types of technology and the lowest cost options. Drew Gardner is with the Benton Institute for Broadband and Society, which advocates for reliable and affordable internet nationwide.
So we're not going to be looking at sort of the best quality network. We're going to be looking at the least expensive networks.
Fiber optic lines have been the gold standard for years. Now, satellite and fixed wireless are playing a bigger role in the state's proposals. Those technologies are cheaper to install than fiber, but some question whether they'll be as reliable and long-lasting. In Wisconsin, Gail Hike, community development specialist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says initially the state was looking at 93% fiber in the program. Now, it's dropped to 73%.
We're hearing from communities that are concerned. What's that going to mean for sustainability? What's that going to mean as far as in some topography areas?
Satellite and fixed wireless beam service over radio waves, which can get blocked by trees, mountains, or a bad storm. Still, it's cheaper, meaning the whole BEAD program will cost less. But each state had an initial budget, and now it's unclear where leftover money will end up. Gardner says it's up to the National Telecommunications Information Administration, or NTIA.
They are being very cagey about what they're going to let states do with that money. By law, it is the state's money. We're just waiting for NTIA to say what they can do with it.
In Oklahoma, Sanders says this federal money will help them connect broadband in the last, toughest-to-reach places.
When it's all said and done, I believe Oklahoma will be very proud with the product that we have produced. However, there's a big however here. Everything will now lie with NTIA.
The agency will have the final word toward the end of the year. Sanders hopes to have shovels in the ground next spring. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.